You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate baseball and The Sports Objective.
You are listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on The Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball. As we look back at the previous week and take a look at what's ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate baseball.
Welcome into Extra Innings, right here presented by Next Level Training Center. And you can simply go to nextleveltc.com. Call them, 252-756-NEXT. You can go to their Facebook. They have a great Facebook and social media presence. Just go check them out. Appreciate Trent and Gaynell, their support of the program. The Brits, they're fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, let's bring in Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, dude?
Fired up to talk about another sweep in the Pirates. And take care of business against George Mason following the 2-1 heartbreaking loss on Wednesday in Fayetteville to the Campbell Camels. Had the opportunity to attend that, but I know we'll dive into each game of the week here momentarily, but stellar pitching once again for the Pirates.
And let's bring a man, Matt Semenza. Do you have your broom?
I do. You know, fellas, it's starting to feel a little too common. You know, another weekend, another sweep for ECU baseball. And, you know, for me, one of the things that really jumps out, guys, is the professional approach by this team, because when you clinch a series on Friday and Saturday, you know, it's you know, for some teams, it's easy to have a letdown. But these guys have a very professional approach. And I love how they go for the clean sweep, and they don't seem to have that letdown on Sundays. So it's great to see. And, you know, it's we're getting a little closer here to conference play, guys.
Yeah, this coming weekend is conference play, as the Pirates are on the road at Houston. Of course, UNCW, we need a dub against UNCW in the worst way. Maybe it's a rivalry that's more in basketball, but I really love beating UNCW. Like, I know Matt's favorite college, university, is Charlotte. It's not like I hate Wilmington. Like, it's just a rivalry game. But we got to get that on Tuesday night, and hopefully we can get a packed house. Tuesday is such an odd, you know, night as far as, like, there's always stuff going on, and my son has practice, unfortunately, or I would be there, but definitely we need to get that going. But let's look back at the week that was. Bubba, 3-1, and started out, I know you and others, let's just say, that watched this show were there.
Yeah, I had the chance to go down to Segra Stadium, kind of a last-minute decision between my dad and I. You know, obviously a heartbreaking loss in Buies Creek back on February 21st, 6-5 in 10 innings. And honestly, not a very well played game in that one. But the Pirates came up shy in extra innings. But this time around, a much better played game, unfortunately. Very much like that UNC Wilmington game, although a different type of game, that UNC Wilmington game 8-5, this one 2-1. They were reminiscent from the standpoint that the Pirates had a chance to jump out to an early lead and unable to do so. In this one, that is, against Wilmington, you had a lead, but it was not what it could have been this game. The Pirates left the bases loaded in the first and the third innings. Luke Nowak led off the game with a triple into the left field corner, and unable to get him in despite having that runner on third base with nobody out. Some big punch outs by Campbell starter Hunter Lloyd, and East Carolina was able to knot the game, to slice into the deficit 2-1 there in the late innings, and got the tying run into scoring position. But all in all, not a bad start by Zach Root. The Campbells did have a couple of extra base hits against him, one which left the yard, and then a couple of excellent relief outings by Garrett Saylor and Wyatt Lunsford-Cheekman that gave the Pirates a chance, but unable to come up with that clutch hit there in the top of the ninth.
Yeah, that really was heartbreaking because we lost, you know, Matt in extra innings in February, and then we had the one run. That was just a tough game. And, you know, I'm going to do my Matt Semenza right now. You tip your hat to Justin Hare, who's done a great job building that Campbell program. And, you know, there's some people maybe that don't know baseball, number one, but they don't know how good Campbell has become. And they're like, why do we keep losing to Campbell? Because they're good. They were number 18 this week. So you look at it, we've lost two games to them, one-run games. Both were away, one neutral site and one there on campus at Buies Creek at Campbell. Nothing to be ashamed of. And Campbell took it to Radford. So as long as they keep winning, we're okay.
Absolutely. You know, and you take a look at Campbell, guys. Let's look what they did last year in the Super Regional. I mean, they gave Tennessee all they wanted.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is now a program we're looking at. It's not a one-hit wonder, if you will. I mean, this is a solid program, and certainly no shame in losing to them. But if you're East Carolina, you know, the big thing is we stranded so many runners that night. And, you know, you look back on it and you say, hey, that's a game we probably should have had, you know, at the end of the day. But that's just baseball. And, you know, I like how the team rebounded and then took care of business this weekend. But, yeah, I totally agree, Dave, to your point that Campbell is, to the outsider, you know, maybe you hear Campbell and you say, ah, you know, but if you're following, you know, that's a very explosive team.
Yeah. And again, Bubba, when it comes to it, it's like with you and I, and, you know, you had a chance to talk to Coach Hare this year. He's always been very good to us, and he's doing everything the right way. And he has, what, two Super Regional appearances, a whole bunch of regionals. I know he's done a nice job going to.
Well, they're still looking to break through the Super Regionals, and that's still yet to happen. But they've made regional championships down at Mississippi State as well as East Carolina. Last year, they lost in that regional over in Knoxville, where they came up shy against Tennessee, and then Tennessee, of course, played Notre Dame in the Super.
Yeah, my bad. I was thinking of – I had Pollard and Hare mixed up there with Duke and Campbell. But, again, still a great program. And, guys, just looking at this – well, looking at our program, one thing that I'm really happy with, Matt, we've talked about all season long, and Bubba also, is the pitching. And, I mean, the great thing is normally it seems like with us, we seem to have a problem with – it seems like our bats are ahead of like our pitching, but this year our pitching has been so solid. And when that hitting starts to really come and, you know, be even more consistent all through the innings, man, I'm going to tell you something. The great thing about this team that I'm so excited about for Pirate Nation is they haven't played their best baseball yet. They're dominating, but yet the best is yet to come. I don't think this team has hit their ceiling. I think they're still at their floor, guys. I really do.
Yeah, and Waylon Summerlin chiming in regarding the Pirates as well as the Camels and the Warren Nolan, which is not the official RPI, but they're very close, similar formulas. And Campbell is currently 9th or 10th, and while the Pirates are 12th, he said, correction, we're at 10th and Campbell's 12th. But nonetheless, right. Two tremendous programs and two very good teams this year. And resume booster for the Pirates, despite coming up shy in 2-1-run games, 6-5 and 2-1. And we will get another chance of them. They'll come to Clark LeClaire Stadium later in the season. And I think, let's see, the date of that game is typically the last week, and it is the final midweek game of the season on May 16th. That's a Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Campbell will be at Clark LeClaire.
Hey, Matt, that game is going to be electric. It's great to have rivalries, and you know all about those, Matt. And it's like, if it's Red Sox, Yankees, I'm not going that far with Campbell and East Carolina, but it's good to have a rivalry and to have teams that are good. And you look at the state of North Carolina with baseball, 18 Division I schools, a lot of good baseball in the state of North Carolina. And so that's what's great about baseball is you have a situation where we can play a lot of good in-state competition and it doesn't hurt us to play them because they're good too.
Absolutely. And, you know, it does seem whenever we play Campbell, there's a little extra edge, you know, there's a little extra fire for the players. And I really enjoy the matchup. So I agree with you, Dave. And, you know, just to kind of go back to your point about how great the pitching has been. Well, you know, I was just kind of going through the stats here too. And I feel like you're starting to see the emergence now offensively as well. You know, we have 9 guys batting over 300 now, 9 guys, and Lane Hoover is now up to 288 guys. So, you know, heading towards 10 guys batting over 300. And, you know, you see the emergence of guys like, you know, Cunningham and Barini and McChrystal. And, you know, Lane Hoover obviously has had a bounce back here, you know, over the last, you know, week and a half or so. So you really like the direction the team is heading offensively as well.
No question, Bubba, with you know, looking at Wednesday night's game and you were, you know, it's something that you hear Pirate fans talk about, the midweek games, but to me, but you look, go back to that stat. If you look at the stats, we're playing good competition during the midweek. We're not playing just any old team. And that's what I love about Coach Godwin is he has that mentality, Bubba, anytime, anywhere, any place. I'll play you in the grocery store, parking lot, wherever. And that pays dividends in June, right?
It does. And Waylon also chimes in, continuing to expand on what we were saying earlier. I talked about how the Pirates left the bases loaded twice on Wednesday night in the first 3 innings, 11 total for the game. And he said in that first loss to Campbell where we fell 6-5 in 10 innings. I had forgotten that it was that extreme, but apparently we left 15 on in that one like we did in the 8-5 defeat at UNC Wilmington. So a total of 26 runners left on base and those 2 one-run losses to the Campbell Camels. But something else, and Matt, a minute ago, used the word fire, and there at the end of the game, you know, Josh Moylan and Cliff Godwin, a little fiery to say the least, after what they deemed to be, or at least Moylan deemed to be, a questionable third strike. Not sure if Coach Godwin's necessarily upset more about the call or the decision by the umpire to eject Josh Moylan from the game after the 27th out, because that's something that was interesting. If you go back and you know, watch that clip of the final out on our YouTube channel, the ejection of Josh Moylan was by the plate umpire. The ejection of Cliff Godwin was by the umpire who had been at third base. So interesting there, as the, you know, the plate umpire was kind of off toward the Campbell dugout, and that guy on the bases tossed Cliff following the game. And then because of that, and we'll dive into the George Mason series here in just a minute or two, Coach Godwin missed Friday's game, and then Josh Moylan was not available until Sunday.
Yeah, I think that for me personally, we're not going to dwell on it because it's in the past, but I just don't understand, and maybe you guys can help me, Matt. I'm almost 50 years old. I've never seen major leagues, high school, little league, farm league, T-ball. I've never seen – I'm joking about that. I've never seen a player and a coach ejected after the game. And I didn't see what was so egregious. Obviously, you know, if Cliff punches someone, if they get, if there's a brawl between the two programs because it's such a tight game, there's certain things like that that you was like, okay, yeah, after the game, you know, this guy knocked out this guy and this guy was pushing and shoving, and you can understand, you could say, hey, it was a heat of the moment. But for me personally, am I supposed to just sit there and take the call and say, to me, the ball was low. Maybe you could argue it's the lower part of the strike zone. I'm not going to get into that debate. But for me personally, I was just like, they should have, and I know other people feel this way too, they should have just walked away, got off the field. You know that it's 2 top 25 team programs, 2 North Carolina rival teams playing each other. And I felt like, to me, that's the problem we had, is that the umpires were bigger than the game. And they need to, here we go again with umpires. Please use some discretion, in that it's a very subjective thing to kick someone out. And you cause the coach to miss a game and you caused a player to miss two games. And what did they, what I would like to know from the umpires, what did Cliff Godwin do? What did Josh Moreland do to cause you being bigger than the game? That's my opinion.
Well, maybe Bubba knows, you know, I tend to agree once the game is over, hey, you know, the game is over and let's just walk away. And there's obviously some frustration there. I'd love to know exactly what was said down there. Maybe Bubba can shed some more light on that.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what was said. I do know, and you can see this plain as day in the video. And first of all, as far as post-game ejections, it's not a common occurrence by any means, but at the same time, I have seen it several times, you know, be it high school, college, or professional. And first of all, as far as Josh Moreland is concerned, if you go back and look at the video, he did make a motion with his bat as to where he thought the ball was. And anytime a guy does that, that's going to be an ejection. So I was not surprised to see Blue toss him. And I didn't know that it was two games. I knew it was going to be at least a one-game suspension. So I think since it was a post-game that it is by the rule on the two-game suspension instead of that game and then obviously the ensuing game if it had taken place before the 27th out. And then as far as Coach Godwin's concerned, no clue what exactly he was saying to Blue. But kind of moving on to the weekend. On Friday, in Pirates victorious 11-3 over George Mason, and another stellar outing by Trey Savage. And Trey in that game, another lengthy outing, improving to 4-0, allowing 3 runs. They were all earned on 4 hits, striking out 11 and walking 2, and he used 97 pitches to go 7 innings.
Yeah, like Matt would say, he's on the pitching, man. It's just on fire right now overall. I was really impressed with him. He's a guy that, wouldn't you say, Bubba, last year, and Matt, that it was like you saw bright spots with Savage, and now he's just a downright beast. He's Matt would say, he's a grinder. He definitely is one that I'm really impressed with this year.
Yeah, he's just, you know, what can you say? I mean, the maturity and just the confidence you could see in him this year versus last year in just a short time is pretty staggering. And when you watch him pitch, he looks like a guy that has total command. He looks extremely confident, and he's playing tremendous baseball right now. And you know, you have to love what you see from this pitching staff, fellas. And if you get any run support whatsoever, you know, you're going to win a hell of a lot of games here with this type of pitching staff. So hopefully he can continue it throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, and Trey Savage, you know, prior to the season, I want to say it was D1 Baseball. They had tweeted how he, you know, in their top prospects for next year's draft, the 2024 draft, that he, I believe, was in the top 35. So now, I didn't read the article, but they just said that he significantly raised his stock from even that, from the top 35. So in other words, they definitely feel if he continues to do what he's doing, that he's going to be a first rounder in 2024.
Hey, there you go. I was wondering about that, Bubba, about his draft stock, but certainly the kid is just that's why he's the ace. That's why he's the Friday night starter. And with George Mason, you know, guys, that's the thing about this team is that, Matt, I wanted to bring this up to you because being and Bubba, both of y'all former players, obviously. But this team, what I've been impressed with is they've had some tough midweek games, right? And for the weekend, they really punished these opponents. I mean, we gave up only 4 runs the entire weekend. You heard me right. 4-1. We outscored George Mason 24-4. And that says a lot about this team and their mental toughness that I knew how bad they wanted that, that win there in Fayetteville against Campbell on Wednesday night. And they come back this weekend, they get the broom, they get the sweep. So it'd be easy to have a letdown and lose a game or two against George Mason, but they did not.
Yeah, you talk about allowing just four runs on the weekend. The previous weekend, the Pirates allowed just four runs against Missouri State, a very good team when it comes to swinging the bats. And then the previous weekend, only five in that series against Liberty. So now, in their last three series, nine games, the Pirates have allowed just 13 runs. And the last opponent to score more than three runs in a game against ECU on the weekend was way back on March the 4th when Indiana did so in what was a lopsided game. I want to say that was 17-4 that the Pirates were victorious against the Hoosiers. So some of those runs may have even come well after the issue was decided. And for comparison's sake, George Washington on opening weekend scored 13 runs. Five in game one, three in game two, and five in game three. So we knew we had an excellent pitching staff, and man, have they really showed it over these last three weekends.
How about that? What else kind of jumps at me, guys, and sorry, Dave, I didn't mean to cut you off there. We're talking at the same time. But, you know, this, again, I go back to the professional approach that this team has, and you'll see it quite frequently with this team where – you know, you'll be in the fifth or sixth inning and you look up and it's like a 1-1 game or, you know, a 2-2 game. And you guys love the word grinder, right? I mean, you talk about grinding. This team, they'll just grind you. And then they'll have that explosive inning, right? And it usually comes in the middle innings, the fifth or sixth, it seems. And they'll put up four or five runs and just bust the game wide open. And it's that ability to stay professional and keep grinding. And once they get past the starting pitcher, you know, that's when they really have you on the ropes.
I love the stat from Johnny Robertson. JR, man, is he and Bubba like our stats guys. Look at this, Matt. The Pirates have outscored their opponents 44-4 in the eighth inning. How about that? You want to talk about dominance? The last team to score in the eighth inning is Georgetown.
Very impressive. That's unbelievable.
So I love to throw that to you, Matt, because by the way, Matt has become even a bigger fan. Obviously, he loves ECU, but we were talking in the green room, Matt. We know Bubba was born and, you know, he's been to like 5,000 million games, but you've become even bigger of a fan, and it's easy to follow a winner, right? I mean, you know, that's why there's 5 million Patriot fans all over the place.
It definitely is. And, you know, for me being living so far away, ESPN3, you know, has been a game changer, you know, being able to watch games on a consistent basis, which is awesome. And, you know, it's just an easy team to cheer for. I mean, these guys always come ready to play. Cliff Godwin always has them prepared. And, you know, I definitely enjoy watching them.
And speaking of Cliff Godwin, you got to love a coach who is willing to fight for you. Wouldn't you say, Matt, when you had, you know, Logan as fiery as he was in his, and you have Coach Godwin. I love to see a fiery coach. You know, like to me, I love tennis back in the day when you had John McEnroe. Are you serious? I'm not going to do that. But, you know, like because they call it a tennis ball out, you know, you can't be serious. But for Cliff Godwin, this team represents him, man. They are mentally tough. They're going to be just fine when it comes to May and June. And, you know, we're talking about March Madness in the green room also, guys. This team is just – it's amazing to watch them because you see certain teams, they find different ways to win. I love how they're playing like – to me, a lot of teams have forgotten about small ball. But we can play – we can beat you playing small ball. We can beat you like with just getting contact. You can get the long ball out of here, Matt. I mean, it's just fun to watch this team. They're so versatile. But good teams find a way to win.
Certainly. And, you know, going back to Friday's game, I talked about the pitching performance of Treya Savage. I know Ben Shields, the starter for George Mason, his numbers don't reflect it as he allowed 7 runs, all earned on 6 hits in 5 1/3 innings. But all in all, you know, prior to that sixth inning and when the Pirates scored 5, he had pitched a pretty good ball game, allowing just 2 runs in the first 5. So a bit deceiving there. But as Matt mentioned, this lineup right when, I mean, you're thinking, well, we need to score some runs. And like Coach Godwin mentioned after Sunday's game, which we'll talk more about, he just said that, you know, I wish we would score some runs in the early innings, but to our guys' credit, they stay with it and make it happen in the mid to late innings. And after, I mean, that game was 1-1 going to the bottom of the fifth. We took a 2-1 lead in the bottom of the fifth when JJC had a big single. And then we exploded for the five spot there that made it. It made it 7-2 in the bottom of the six right after George Mason had tied it at 2 in the top.
Yeah, this team, this team with when Johnny had that stat of 44-4, Matt, you know, you just feel like with this team, I love the fact they're never out of it. They may have a slow start and they may have like something happen, but you know that, that this team is going to fight. They're going to be down to the very last pitch, the very last out, and you always have a chance with this team. It's not like, for the most part, maybe you could argue the only game that comes to mind, guys, the Duke game, maybe where you felt like, oh, well, this is just not our day. But pretty much the entire season, just like for the most part with this program, you always have a chance.
Yeah, and, you know, that I kind of go back to that stat I mentioned earlier about how you now have 9 guys batting over 300 because that diversity throughout your lineup, you know, really allows you to do some great things. And, you know, guys are going to have off days. But now with the emergence, you know, you're seeing the emergence of some guys here. You know, I think of McChrystal and, you know, he's batting 370 on 27 at-bats, but he's batting 370, you know, Carter Cunningham. And you go back to Hoover, you know, how he's really turned it around in the last few weeks. So when you have that kind of diversity in your lineup, you know, it just makes you so dangerous.
Yeah, and guys with a and Bubba and Matt, you know, you guys know how that the very fact of if this were both of y'all are football players, if this were football and you have like what the heck has happened to Lane Hoover, you know, and it's football, you go, I'm a little bit worried, right? Because it's only 12 games that you have in the regular season. When there's like 56 games, you know, you're not going to have not that it's a cop out excuse. But you know you're going to have some games that are not going to be your best. You'll have a slump. We've seen it so many times with professional teams. I know Bubba being a Braves fan. How many times, Bubba, have you seen players that are Braves fans, Braves players that are having a slump and they're not playing their best, and all of a sudden they get hot, and you're like, okay, looks like they're out of the slump.
Yeah, I mean, you hear it all the time. Baseball's a game of failure. And you know, you think about the best seasons we've had, our best season in program history from a one win-loss standpoint, or, you know, win-loss percentage rather, you know, 47-9 back in 1990. And the others, I mean, you think about 2004, I think 51-13. And 2001, 47-13. So you're going to lose some games. It's the nature of the game of baseball, but you know, this team's off to an excellent 19-5 start, and you guys talk about the lineup and the variety of lineups that we've seen. Luke Nowak had been the leadoff man pretty much with an exception or two over the last month, and then Ryan McChrystal led off Friday's game, and did he ever, 3 for 5 with 3 RBI, and had an excellent night. And really a solid week. Well, I think he had also come into the Campbell game and gotten a pinch hit single to right field. And then he also had a hit in Saturday's game, which we'll talk about against the Patriots. But Ryan McChrystal, seeing action in the leadoff spot in games 1 and 3 against George Mason.
No doubt. I mean, it's great to see these young players, Matt. I say it a lot, but it's true that this program just continues to rebuild, and we'll have our PGX player of the game and pitcher of the game coming up.
Sorry, Dave, correction, reload.
Reload, yeah. I meant to say, I'm sorry, I said rebuild, I'm sorry.
Reload. That's the reason I corrected you, because I knew what you meant.
Sorry about that. Yeah, sorry, Coach Godwin, I did not mean a rebuild, reload, and that's me misspeaking. But when you have a situation like that, this guy's, and then you have McChrystal, again, one of our candidates for the PGX Player of the Week, and we'll look at that in just a little while. But you have a guy like that, it's not a matter of his play. It's a matter of his health that's the issue, Matt. I mean, this is a guy that his back is hurting, and I know that it's been an issue where I know Coach Godwin said earlier in the week that it's like you can think about it. When you do a swing, think about what's affecting your back. And so his back has been hurting him, and they're not going to be able to, unfortunately, correct it because Coach talked about that during the season. So, you know, you play football, Bubba has too. You have nagging injuries that you just have to live with until you can maybe do something in the offseason.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, it's nice to be 20, you know. anybody who's ever
saying, Matt, what are you saying?
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Well, anybody who's ever had a nagging back injury, and I've had back surgery within the last 7 years, so there's nothing worse than a back injury. You know, and I can only imagine what it's like. You're trying to swing that bat. I mean, go try to play golf with it with a muscle strain in your back, and you see.
Oh my God! Yeah, good point, man.
So yeah, I mean, to your point, Dave. I mean, he's probably going to have to deal with that. You know, for the majority of the season here. Hopefully, it's something you know he can get past. But you know, he's doing a great job fighting through it. And you know, hopefully, it just doesn't get to the point where you know it limits his ability to perform.
And we talk about this lineup, another guy who has really emerged in the last few weeks is Carter Cunningham. He's seen more and more playing time when he's capitalized on the pinch hit at bats that he's been given. And, you know, he got at least a couple starts this week, if not more. I think saw the start in center field. Maybe that was in today's game. But Carter, 4-for-7 this week. And in that game on Friday night, had two hits, one of three Pirates with multi-hit games in the series opening win. So, you know, kind of on that note, let's transition into Saturday's game. The Pirates jumped on the Patriots with a run in the first off the bat of Ryan McChrystal. And the Patriots did tie it up in the top of the second, and that's where we stood very much like Friday. Going into the middle innings, but just like Friday's game, the Pirates scored in each of the last four innings, with the sixth, seventh, and eighth being crooked numbers, with a pair of runs in each of those frames.
Yeah, it just continued. You know, we were talking about that. So you had the nice win on Friday, and then on Saturday, Matt, it was pure dominance, and great to see with the Pirates where you win game two. And you're wondering how each game, you're wondering how's the pitching going to be? How's the hitting going to be? How are we going to do from Friday to Saturday? And this team continues just to take care of business. TCB.
Yeah. And didn't you just get the feeling watching George Mason? They were a beaten team. I mean, we broke their confidence.
Yeah.
And you really got the sense that, you know, once you get into the middle innings, they knew they were in trouble. You know, you could just kind of feel it. And again, you know, you go back to the professionalism of this team not to let down on Sunday. You know, I love that about this team. They're relentless and they don't let up and they took care of business. And George Mason, you know, when they left Greenville, they were, like I said, they were a beaten team, fellas.
And I'm going to be interested to see how George Mason fares in the A-10 because they're starting pitching, you know, hats off for what they're building there in Fairfax, because you know, I think they're very much kind of the way that coaching staff at George Mason is going about things is similar to what Robert Woodard did at Charlotte as far as bringing in a ton of transfers, as many as, you know, in the mid-20s into that Patriots program. And with their starting pitching, I think they were swinging the bat pretty well coming into this weekend. A lot of folks are going to struggle against us and have struggled against us on the weekend, scoring runs with our arms. And I'm just saying that very matter-of-factly. But yeah, hey, George Mason, I would not be surprised to see them have a pretty good season in the A-10.
No question. A left-hander today, we'll get to that in just a little bit. It's just a matter of where, and that shows we didn't, and that's another thing, guys, we did not struggle against George Mason, even though we should beat him. There's some teams that say, well, we could beat George Mason. Yeah, but you didn't dominate, right? And so for me, it felt good to, it's no place like home, guys. I believe off the top of my head, Bubba, aren't we 16-1 at home? I believe that's right.
We are. The Pirates are 16-1 at home, and they're also 16-1 on the weekend. That lone loss was the 3-2 defeat, and lone home loss was the 3-2 setback to the Dirtbags of Long Beach State, a game in which the Pirates had some opportunities and didn't capitalize there with runners in scoring position.
Wow, that's that home record is very impressive. And, you know, I see a comment there from Chuck, and I was just about to go there, Chuck, about how we're going to have to win the midweek games, right? And I'll tell you, I am really excited about this, not to get ahead of ourselves because we're still talking about the weekend, but more than usually, I'm very excited about this Tuesday matchup against UNCW, guys, and really, really hoping we can kind of, you know, fix this midweek. I wouldn't call it an issue, right? But it's something we definitely want to correct here.
No question, and you're right about what I was going to say, Nathan. Thank you. He says Breeny has turned it up along with the bomb this weekend. Yeah, the bomb we had. I mean, Breeny is one of those guys. Riley Johnson, Ryan McChrystal, guys that are really Carter Cunningham. Guys are stepping up. So thank you, Nathan, for tuning in, and thank you for mentioning that. Breeny has been Shaq, as they call him, his nickname, has been really stellar. He made a play, I believe, was that yesterday? Friday's game, I'm trying to remember, where he was on his back and he tossed it to, was it Starling at second base?
Yeah, he dove to his right there in the sixth hole, and from his back, as you said, threw it to Jacob Starling, a heck of a play. And, you know, coming into the season, that was a question mark, at least outside the program. Obviously, Coach Godwin, Coach Palumbo knew what they had in Joey Breeny. And we'd seen it largely on the offensive side in a pinch hit role, more so than what he is capable of defensively, although we had seen it a little bit here and there. But now in a large sample size through the first half of this season as the primary starter at shortstop, he's been excellent, made some tremendous plays in addition to most of the routine ones. And he's also hitting .328 with two home runs and also, I think, three, maybe four doubles, driven in about 10. And if you'd have told me prior to the season that we were going to get that, both defensively and offensively from the shortstop position, sign me up.
No question. And that just goes to show what I was going to say is Coach Godwin, Palumbo, Austin Knight, Cody Bortles, like Blake, all those guys. This, it just goes to show what we had coming back, plus the recruiting has been excellent. We're so deep, Matt, that, you know, there's multiple guys, Chrisman, Breeny, there's a whole bunch of guys that can play short. And yeah, you know, losing, I'm not knocking the fact losing Agnos was huge, a two-way player, but two-way U, as it's sometimes known in East Carolina. But the fact that you have a guy like a Breeny who, hey, he's got his chance, right? He got his chance, and look what he's doing there, just like with Justin Wilcox and Bubba with he's been working his tail off, working really hard at the catching position, and he's got a starting role.
Yeah, they did an excellent job, and this is something that Johnny Robertson has pointed out throughout the first half of the season, and that is the way we've controlled the running games of the opposition. You had George Mason. They were averaging about four stolen bases per game coming in. But they certainly did not steal anywhere close to 12 this weekend. They had two, I believe, one in games one and two, and then maybe none today, if not. But on the whole, it was a total of two stolen bases for George Mason in this series.
No doubt. And for me, looking at, you were talking about the midweek games. Yeah, if you want to, basically we're 19-5, but if you take and going back to the issue with is something that Bubba, you pointed out, and I hadn't really thought about, is the issue that we have is that we talked about LOB, left on base. They had a stat, I think it was ESPN Plus, but they had a stat of like all the games that we've lost and how many we've left on base. That's the key right there is situational hitting, Matt, where we're getting where we've got runners in scoring position. And I think off the top of my head, it was like, 110 runners in scoring position I saw or something like that. Really, really low. So that's where the key is to winning and losing is runners in scoring position, how low a number batting average we have.
No doubt. And, taking a little bit deeper look at Saturday's game, the 8-1 win, as you look at it, Carter Spivey, we haven't talked about the excellent start he had. Yes, he only went five innings, but part of that was some tough luck. Five hits allowed in those five innings, and the majority of those were C&I singles. Not a lot of hard contact against Carter, so another solid effort. 81 pitches in those five frames, just a one earned run, and one run overall, and three strikeouts, two walks for Carter Spivey, who did earn the victory to improve to 2-1. And then Wyatt Lunsford-Sheekman, three hitless shutout innings of relief, two strikeouts, needed just 36 pitches to work those three innings. And wanted to go to what one of our viewers said just a moment ago, JR, saying that Wyatt Lunsford-Sheekman has now thrown 17 straight scoreless innings with 19 strikeouts and only two walks. So just remarkable production from Wyatt. And we had heard how much he had improved from last year. He fared well at times toward the end of the 2022 season, and Coach Godwin was not – shy to put him in there in a critical situation in the Super Regional, and he's done nothing but make tremendous strides since, and he's lived up to the preseason hype. And then also another guy, a lot of hype, and we've seen it before from him, and now he's back as a Pirate. It's great to have Landon Ginn available. Coach Godwin was talking about post-game how he is a little too hyped up yesterday, but he settled in and pitched well, 93-95 with that fastball for Landon.
Happy to see that. And you and Matt have brought him up, and that's a name that, again, we talk about. It's like a band that has so many hits that you forget. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about. He's another guy that you could put right in there. The rotation as far as the bullpen and guys going down the stretch, we're going to really, stating the obvious, but we're going to really need them coming up in the conference tournament. We'll make a big difference whether where our seating is, of course. And then as far as regional and super regional, I'm going to be confident. I think we're a super regional team. Whether we get to Omaha or not, that's going to be like kind of like last year, so close. But we're definitely a super regional program. So come the middle of June, hopefully we can be talking about Smiz and I and cigars and going to Omaha.
Yeah, you bring that up as far as needing the bullpen, although the last three series, especially in the last two weekends, that bullpen hasn't seen a ton of action. Coach Godwin was talking about that after Sunday's game, which we'll talk more about momentarily. But Cliff just said that he was telling those relievers, hey, I know we're getting tremendous starts and guys going 7-8 innings, with the exception of one or two out of our last six starts. But I promise you, the time's going to arise during league play where we need, some longer relief outings, and we have the guys that can get it done. In a relief performance, it was good to see, going back to Friday's game very quickly, Willie Lumpkin. Willie had been out with some, I believe it was arm soreness or an injury of some sort over the last couple weeks. And it was great to have Willie and back available, and he had a solid inning of work.
No doubt. And by the way, I wanted to mention this. I'm glad you brought that up, Bub, about the players and soreness and all that. One of the things I love about Godwin is how much he cares for these players, not only from a personal standpoint that I've seen, but also from the fact of their future. And you have a kid like that who, again, a little bit of soreness, Lumpkin, and, you know, you Carter Spivey, you know, I think he is dealing with his soreness. He hasn't had his best stuff. It's not because of the mental part of it. It's just that I think, who knows, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a baseball guy as far as being inside the program. But the good news is moving ahead. These guys, he's done a nice job, Austin Knight and Palumbo and Godwin, of managing these guys where we don't go, oh, my God, so-and-so is out for the season. Next thing you know, this guy's out for the season. This guy's out for the season. And all of a sudden, it can be like a really big domino effect. But that just goes back to the great job those guys are personally and professionally, meaning our coaches, how they're handling these injuries.
Yeah, you know, you kind of go back to last year a little bit with that, where we obviously had a little more difficulty with starting pitching. So we were kind of forced to use so many guys throughout the course of the season. And, you know, even if you're picking up an inning here, an inning there, two innings, and, you know, in some ways that's really helped a lot of our, you know, relief pitching this year. Guys were able to get more experience, and now all of a sudden you just have so many different options, and it allows you to stay fresh throughout the course of the season. And certainly we haven't even gotten into conference play yet. So, you know, we're heading into conference play in a great position, not only record wise, but also just, you know, the overall health of the team right now.
No question. And Nathan's asking about the status. I don't know, maybe Bubba knows of Garrett Saylor. I'm not sure. We'll have to check for you there, Nathan, on that. Again, a guy that's speaking of a grinder, Matt, Garrett Saylor has been one of the best. We'll check on his as far as his status, but I'm not 100% on. I'll have to check.
Say that again, Dave. I dropped out for a moment. Some technical difficulties in the status of who?
Garrett Saylor.
Garrett Saylor. Garrett Saylor. Have not heard a timetable. It's kind of a, and I don't know that there is a very, it's kind of a day to day or that kind of situation. It was an oblique injury, so that's good news. My arm going off the field on Wednesday night, straightaway center field, so not best. It was been like toward the side or lower back, and which Godwin did confirm it is a oblique injury. He said the Thursday that Garrett did not feel very well, but Friday he was feeling much better. So Garrett Saylor will be available maybe next week at Houston. I'd be a little surprised to see him pitch midweek against UNC Wilmington.
Yeah, and I think going back to Matt, not only do you care about the guys, but also if you're thinking about the game itself, you're also thinking, man, let's rest this guy. Let's get him back to 100%. Don't get him out there 25 or 50%. Not a hurt us for the game, but also you're hurting the guy down the line as far as being on your team. And if he wants to make it at Major League Baseball and the minors to start out.
Yeah. And you talk about a nagging injury. An oblique is that type of injury. It really is the type of thing where it can nag you for a long time if you don't take care of it properly. And, you know, what I would say, just looking at from the outside here, and I know Garrett, he's a competitor. He wants to get work, but we're in a really solid position right now with pitching depth. So if that oblique is nagging, get it healthy, you know, be right. Patient, take your time, and then make yourself, you know, available and back to 100% for the stretch run. There's no need to rush that type of injury right now. We have that luxury, and it goes back to recruiting. It goes back to having so many arms on the staff.
It really does. And Bubba, with the situation right now, I know we're going to talk about Sunday, today's game. They had to move it up because of inclement weather with rain. But when you look ahead, you have your conference play starting on Friday with Houston. We're not jumping over UNCW, but my point was that this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the Pirates get to dominate, take care of business. And we were talking earlier with, I think it was Charles, if you want to be a top eight seed, a national seed, you're going to have to not only win your conference, but you're going to have to dominate the conference to be in that conversation.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You always, from an RPI standpoint, the Pirates are in good shape right now, and it's kind of a catch 22. As you look at the RPI, you obviously want to win those games against those clubs like Campbell that are top 50, or in Campbell's case, top 15 opponents. But at the same time, if you lose series against some of the people we're going to play in the league where they have an RPI of 150, and in some cases, at least two or three cases, over 200, then that's really going to crush you. So as much as you want to win those midweek games, and we certainly do, a loss in one of those midweek games is not going to hurt you as badly RPI-wise as a loss, or much less a series loss against someone like USF or some team, right. Tulane, I know is really struggling, that has an RPI in excess of 200.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know. Wow, they have really, Matt, man, talk about hard times. Oh my goodness.
I believe that's the case. I'll seek to confirm. We'll go through the RPI for the league here before we wrap up in a few minutes, but I know we have at least two or three teams that are over 200. Tulane may not be one of those because they have played a pretty good schedule. But, the Green Wave really, really struggling, I want to say. Coming into this week, they were something like 5-17 or 5-19.
No doubt. By the way, guys, Richard Osbrook, our good buddy, says, love seeing Clonch and McChrystal, the lineup. Some good play by both. Absolutely, Richard. Man, Cam Clonch, another guy that's right there again, Matt, it's like we said, it's like a band, a rock band that has tons and tons and tons, a huge catalog, if you will. And Clonch is another guy that has been stepping up, and that's what we need, man.
Certainly is. And defensively, I thought he made a big impact.
No question. And so thank you, Richard. If you have a comment or question, you put it there in the comment section on YouTube, or we're on our YouTube channel live right now on Sunday nights. It's Extra Innings, brought to you by Next Level Training Center, nextleveltc.com. You can call them at 252-756-NEXT. And I appreciate the support of the program from Trent and Gaynell Brett. And also, Bubba, do you want to do the pgxgloves.com Pitcher of the Week and Player of the Week? I guess we can get to that.
Okay.
I don't know, Bubba, did you hear me?
Yeah, Dave, can you guys have me all right?
Yeah, we got you now.
All right. PGXGloves.com, Player of the Week, Ryan McChrystal. Richard talking about Ryan's strong performance this week. He was 5-for-12, home run, that 3-for-5 performance in the leadoff spot in Friday's 11-3 win. So congratulations to Pirate catcher and designated hitter Ryan McChrystal. 5-of-12 with a double, home run, and 5 runs batted in on the week. And then we'll also go to our pgxgloves.com Pitcher of the Week, and that is Josh Groves. Josh Groves, 8 innings, complete game, because today's game did get cut an inning short because of the weather. But 8 shutout innings, 5 hits allowed, 5 strikeouts, a walk. And Josh is now 4-0 with a 1.82 ERA and has surrendered just 17 hits in 34 2/3 innings, opponents hitting just 149 against him.
Well, his performances have just left me speechless, and I'm not being dramatic, guys. I just he's been incredible on the mound, and love his number 38. That's my Uncle Roger's number. Roger Craig, so 38. I'll never forget his number, unless he changes it, for sure. But what a great performance by Groves today. And disappointed, obviously, by the weather. But, hey, we got the win. That's the most important part. And I know, Matt, we're hoping that we'll get you down here pretty soon. Maybe it'll be the regional or super regional. We can get you down here.
And hopefully even before that, Dave, you know, I'm looking at, you know, possibly mid-April here. So I'm dying to get down there. I'll tell you, I'm very jealous. I watch these games on TV, and it's like, you know, in the 70s and low 80s. And, you know, I think it was 38 here and rainy yesterday. So, yeah, you know, you don't have to twist my arm.
Hey, Matt, let's see if it'll do it for me. Here's your ticket right here, bro. Here's your ticket right here.
Let's do it.
I'm a season ticket holder. I got four seats. And I know Bubba's got seats. We got your tickets covered. All you have to do is handle your travel arrangements, and we'll take care of you, bro.
Well, Kyle Barber told me he can get us, you know, tickets inside. You know, almost like the suite tickets.
Oh, so. Yeah, and by the way, Kyle, I understand, is going to
inside joke with me and Kyle.
Yeah, exactly. He'll have the observation deck in left field. That's where we're going to be next year, right, or the year after. I guess it'll be more like 25 by the time we have that bubble, right? It's going to take some time, maybe.
Yeah, probably something like that. I doubt it will be next season, but probably the 25 season. Yeah. But something else I'm noting, game three, is Josh Moreland made his return after a two-game suspension due to Wednesday night's action. And Josh it was not quite straightaway center field. It was a like Coach Godwin said, post game oppo taco. But he hit that ball probably right at, if not over, 400 feet. I believe that was Josh's third home run of the season, and he continues to have a solid 2023.
You know, Matt, he was the guy, not picking on Moreland, but he was the guy I was telling you. You were asking us in the preseason before the season started, like Hot Stove League in January. Who's your guy? Who's your guy? And I told you that my X factor is Josh Moreland. He is a great defensive player. He has a great bat. I love to watch that guy fight. He gets on base. And I said, he's the guy that I'm looking at as the X factor. Not that he's the only guy. This is a team sport. But he's a guy that we've got to have using that bat and really crushing it like he did today.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you're just happy for Josh Moreland to see him playing so well, because last year was a struggle. And he's a big, strong kid. He brings that power bat to the lineup. So he makes a huge difference, and obviously does a great job at first base too. So definitely happy to see him, you know, back on track. And how about the fact, I don't know if you guys mentioned it earlier, how about Hoover hitting a home run, right? That's not something you see every day, fellas, you know?
Yeah, I really love the fact. And, you know, his grandpa, he talked about that on Friday night post game. His grandpa, I don't think has passed away, but he's going to pass away. So Elaine was able to pray with him on Friday. He has a huge home run. And you can't make that stuff up. You can't make that stuff up. It's great storylines. And just that kid has been what a tough guy. What a great guy for the program. And, you know, I know they don't like retire jerseys, but Lane Hoover should be in the conversation definitely for all that he's contributed to the program. Another guy, I think this is fifth year off the top of my head, and he's so clutch when it comes to, you know, left field Lane Hoover, you know, he's gonna be playing left field. And but the good news is, with the depth that we have at outfielder, we can put a whole bunch of different combinations out there and still win.
Absolutely. You know, he's just that type of guy. He's dependable. He's going to show up every day for you. He's going to do a great job in left field. So yeah, another one, you know, I was happy to see him swinging the bat well.
I know we've got a few minutes left of the show, as I know Bubba has to run, but certainly a great performance. Let's talk now while we have a few minutes left. Matt, you're a competitor like I am. If it's tiddlywinks, if it's video games with my kids, they're better at them than I am. I'll stick to my Atari 2600. They love when – that's why I get those Atari games, because I can just crush them, and they're like, oh, my God, my dad is awesome. but whatever it is you're playing, when this game on Tuesday, how do you handle the UNCW game, knowing that it's a rivalry game. You don't want to get too overhyped. You don't want to get too that. But how do you do that?
Well, you just basically have to be mentally prepared. You have to be locked in, you know, dialed in, as my son would say. And, you know, you just have to approach this game, like you said, with a level head. Don't want to be too high, too low. But it is an important game because it's an in-state battle. And you know, we had a tough loss down in Wilmington a few weeks back. So, you know, I know you mentioned during that game we stranded a ton of runners. You know, we loaded the bases several times. And it was just one of those frustrating nights where we just couldn't seem to capitalize. But, you know, for me personally, you know, I think because it's Wilmington, because it's in state, I really want to see us, you know, put the hammer down on this team.
No question. It's going to be great. Just like Campbell, UNCW is another game that you want really bad. And if it's on the court in basketball or I'm getting ready to say football. I want that program to have a football team so bad. One of these days they will, but that's a whole nother. I'm not getting to that. I know why they don't have one. Let's talk, Bubba. Let's pitch it to Bubba because I know we're getting ready to get out of here. But I know you wanted to do the American scores, Bubba. And how did the American teams fare this weekend?
Yeah, we'll come back to the American scoreboard here in just a moment, but UNC Wilmington, the Seahawks, 15-9, and they have an RPI of 128. I was looking to see what they did this weekend. They were playing up at Stony Brook, a league series there in the CAA, and they were victorious in the series, taking two out of three up in Stony Brook, New York, from the Seawolves. So the Seahawks will be coming in with that 15-9 record. And then last week they lost a heartbreaker to NC State in the midweek, 11-8 in 10 innings there at Brooksville.
No question. And guys, it's a game. It's not a must win, but it is one that, Matt, we were talking about. You want a national seed. It's at home. We're 16-1. I feel really good about this game. I think the Pirates will do well. I think it'll be a close game. We win it. And then you have at Houston. So, Bubba, that's going to be the conference play starting. We got to do well on the road. And, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, dominate the conference.
Yeah, and just looking ahead, guys, to Tuesday night, the weather in Greenville. Looks like it's going to be a decent night. You know, looks like it's going to be in the probably about the mid-60s. Around game time, obviously playing in the friendly confines of Clark LeClaire Stadium. So hopefully we have a big crowd for that one and we get it done.
All right, let's shift gears back to the American school board, Bubba.
Yeah, going back to the RPI, teams in the American, the RPIs have changed a little bit because I said we had multiple teams over 200. Right now it's just one team over 200, and that is the Houston Cougars. At 201, Tulane, the Green Wave have certainly struggled, but their RPI currently sits at 183. Very unusual to see Tulane that high. But and then taking a look at UCF, which is the next team in the standings, or by the RPI rankings, if you will, since league play is yet to begin, the Knights are 16-8. They do have a sweep at Clemson, to their credit, which is one of their more impressive accomplishments thus far. And then this weekend, they played Maryland. They dropped two out of three to Maryland in Orlando, winning the series opener 4-2, but then fell 16-6 and 8-6 to the Terps, you know, who have a very good club under Rob Vaughn. And then you have Wichita State, and the Shockers sit at 13-10, 159. So looking at you have East Carolina at 10th, and then UCF at 114. Those are the only two teams out of Clemson this league, eight playing members, that are in the top 150 of the RPI, which is hard to believe.
It really is. A go back, Matt, that's the issue that, not to say it's going to happen, but you can't struggle against, we're talking about midweek, but also you can't struggle against this American conference. You've got to really not only win, but dominate the conference. And the midweek situation will take care of itself. I think the Pirates, the bats are going to be a lot better, especially runners in scoring positions. We talked about it's probably, if there's a issue right now, you have to look at it as runners in scoring position. And not to be critical of the team, we love them, but that's what's going to happen to that's what's going to change for us winning these midweek games.
And I know I sent you a score from earlier today, Dave. USF, the Bulls are 9-16, and they lost today. Game, you said you were thinking that it was a first half score from a basketball game. The Rams, Rams of VCU 25, South Florida 15. There were combined 43 hits in that game.
Good
and
God.
And
wow,
just looking. I was looking on the weekend. They lost the series opener to VCU 18-3 and then bounced back and took game two 9-0 before losing game three 25-15. So that's baseball for you. You lose a couple games by a combined score of 43-18, but then still found a way to win that one 9-0. Go figure.
No doubt, guys. It's just nuts what's going on with our league. But next year, we've just got to suffer. That's not the right word. Sorry about that. We've just got to play our way through. We can't help who our opponents are or not when it comes to our conference. And we've just got to play and beat those guys and move on to bigger, better things in June.
Yeah. All we can do is what you hear all the time from Cliff Godwin, as well as most other coaches, control the controllables. And we can't change our schedule. It is what it is. And hopefully, I mean, at this point, beginning league play, you know, all we can hope is that the Pirates do what we've done in the last few seasons, and that's dominate within the American. And then hopefully some of these league opponents will find a way to win some of those non-conference games against quality competition to at least improve their RPI a little bit.
No question. It's one of those things. We've got to keep doing what we're doing, and we'll be fine. Again, our show is brought to you by Next Level Training Center, nextleveltc.com. Give Trent and Gaino Brett a call, 252-756-NEXT. Next Level Training Center, looking forward to my son Alexander, guys, is starting, as you guys saw. He's just starting out as a pitcher, and right now behind the scenes, so to speak. He hasn't gotten a game yet, but we're going to get some pitching lessons here pretty soon. I got to call 252-756-NEXT and Next Level and get him in over there and get it done.
Yeah, really appreciate the support of Trent and Gaynell, as always. And as we just mentioned, Pirates four-game week, beginning with UNC Wilmington, the 15-9 Seahawks at 6:00 on Tuesday, a game that will be on ESPN Plus, as always, if you're unable to make it out to Clark LeClaire Stadium. Also, you can tune in on 94.3 The Game. And then all three games out at Houston will, of course, be on ESPN Plus, as the Pirates will be at, I'm assuming it's pronounced Schroeder Park, there on the University of Houston campus. We'll see if we can get a preview of the Cougs in addition to the Seahawks. So we'll take a look at them, and hopefully at least a 3-1, if not 4-0 week. Man, that would be sweet to head into the following week with an unblemished 3-0 mark in the league and a 23-5 record overall.
No doubt, because not looking ahead, hey, Matt, one of your favorite teams is coming to Greenville a week from Tuesday. So this Tuesday we have UNCW. Next Tuesday we have NC State, baby. NC State coming in. I guess you'll bring your helicopter in and we'll get you to the game Tuesday night.
Absolutely. We have some fun Tuesday matchups coming up, as well. So looking forward to that one as well.
And here we go, fellas. Hey, we have momentum. Let's just keep it going.
All right, Bubba, do you have anything before we get out of here?
Yeah, just make sure you subscribe or follow, like on all our social media, on Twitter at esportsobj, on Instagram and TikTok at The Sports Objective, and like and follow us on Facebook as well. So definitely stay tuned and make sure you click that notification bell so anytime we go live or upload new content that you're alerted on your device. If you've not heard the comments from Coach Houston, Jack Powers, Marlon Gunn, Parker Moore, and also Deontay Johnson from after Saturday's first scrimmage of the spring, check out that. We'll be dropping Gunn, Moore, and Johnson later on this evening, and you can hear the comments of Coach Houston and Jack Powers right now.
No doubt. By the way, get your season tickets. Man, 1-800-DIAL-ECU. You can go to ecpirates.com. I'm up there right now getting ready to sign in, look at my season tickets, but go there, ecpirates.com, 1-800-DIAL-ECU, and get your tickets. We've seen an increase of ticket sales, and we're going to have Ryan Robinson on soon. We're trying to work out our schedule to make that happen, but we'll talk to him about the Pirate Club. We'll talk to him about season tickets. They have a goal of 16,000. Let's crush that. Let's make it 18, 19. We're on pace to get the 16,000, and let's have it maybe 18, 19. What do you say, Bubba? Let's hey, Matt. What's your goal for season tickets this year? Let's put you on the spot real quick, and we'll get out of here.
My goal, whether it's realistic or not, it's always 20,000 plus. So that's, you know, I don't want to – we've been there before, so why lower our standards, right? We can get back there again.
Yeah, that's what we got to do for our program as far as athletics, but also football, is we've got to have it way over the – I know they're doing that, you know, they have like a benchmark, but – let's crush that number. Let's kill the 16,000, make it 18, or let's go. Mine is 18, but I love yours, Matt. I can align with 20. What about you, Bubba?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I want to sell as many as we can sell. Definitely, I don't want to hear, sure, you don't have an NC State on the schedule, but the Pirates have won 15 games over the last two seasons, and it's clear that this program's trending toward you know, winning a conference title from the first time in nearly 15 years. So let's do our part to ensure that home field advantage, not that you couldn't have a home field advantage with less than 50, but let's make it as good as we can possibly make it, and be sure to get those season tickets. The priority deadline is approaching quickly, as that is April the 3rd, which is what this – is that following week and the following Monday, I believe.
Yeah.
So we have about six more business days before that priority deadline. Be sure to join the Pirate Club so you can get your priority points, and then also make your seats as good as you can possibly make them. When you order your season tickets, 252-737-4540. I went ahead and took care of that on Friday. And then also Pirates Unite, we need that indoor practice facility. We're about halfway there. It's going to be about $18 million or so. We've raised $8 or $9 million. So make sure you also make your contribution to Pirates Unite and that capital campaign. You know, what I did is I gave a third of it. You can earmark it. And I did a third toward the indoor practice facility, a third toward baseball ops, and then a third toward the Minji's project, which includes the new chairback seating, et cetera.
I did 500 each one of the campaigns. There's five different campaigns. And the great thing about it is that's just, we were talking about Matt goals. That's just, you could give a lot more over the next handful of years, but I put 2,500. And hopefully I can give more than that. You know, God has blessed me with my kids being healthy, and I'm getting a raise every single year at my day job. And we're doing great here with this show. So I have my gigs. If you need a DJ or karaoke, then you know that money goes towards, I help with my Pirate Club donation. So anybody that's Pirate supporting Pirates, reach out to me, and we can definitely hook you up with a great DJ event, with a wedding, a reception, not to give a shameless plug, but that's what the people were surprised when I say that I use that money towards helping the Pirates out with season tickets or Pirate Club donation. All right. Well, it's about that time for us to get out of here. Thank you so much, Bubba. And appreciate you, Matt, so much. As always, guys, our show is brought to you by Next Level Training Center, 252-756-NEXT. By the way, one more thing, Bubba, before we go, I want to give a shout out for our brother, Kyle Barber, who TSO brother. He lost his mother on Friday unexpectedly, and we're just praying really hard for you, Kyle, your family, Jessica, Heather, everybody. His mom, Linda, I knew a little bit, and she loved my kids. So great lady. We're going to tremendously miss her, and we want to send a shout out. We love Kyle. He's our brother from a different mother, and I didn't want to go a whole show without mentioning that we're pulling hard for you. We're always on Team Kyle, right, guys?
Absolutely. Sending prayers to Kyle and his entire family, and obviously a tough time for Kyle, but you know, looking forward to having him back whenever he's ready on the show here. And you know, just like I said, sending our best.
No doubt. Bubba, thank you so much for all that you do. Matt, thank you so much. Appreciate you guys. We'll get out of here. You've been watching next from Next Level Training Center. It's Extra Innings right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.
Hey, Pirate Nation, this is former East Carolina pitcher Davey Penny of the Keith LeClaire era, class of 2003. Keep it tuned to the Sports Objective as you follow our Diamond Bucks on the road to Omaha, because y'all know we're going.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night as we will once again talk East Carolina Pirate baseball. Be sure to follow the show on social media at the Sports OBJ on Twitter, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. As always, we appreciate you tuning into the show. Go Pirates!